we have met and been with you. Lord, like Moses of old, when he met with you, they said his face shone because of him being in the presence of the divine. Lord Jesus, we desire to be in your presence today. So shine upon us that we reflect your glory. The fruits of your life, may they be fruits of our lives. May we shine forth your glory today. Lord Jesus, we come before you and recognize that it is not in our own strength, in our own enablement, in our own power, but it is through your work within us. Oh, Lord Jesus, come. Come by the power of your Spirit and so work within us. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this community that we're a part of, the Tri-Cities. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to live in such a wonderful place. And here we've got beautiful sunshine once again this morning. Thank you for that beautiful sunshine. We so appreciate that when we've had a day of rain. And Lord, even a week of sunshine, we're looking forward to that this week. Thank you for your grace as we enter this month of October. Lord, we pray that you would so bless your church as we involve ourselves in school and being amongst family members, being amongst your church, being in the community. Lord, we pray that you would so use us to show your love, show your grace, show your spiritual fruit in our lives, that your community, your world would be better enriched and people would be called to you. Lord Jesus, we pray for those that don't know you, that are lost and destitute, turning to all kinds of false gods and false products and way of medication and way of entertainment. There's so many things people turn to in this generation, Lord, away from you. Lord, but we know the only place we need to turn is towards you. So we pray to that end, Lord, that you would help us direct people towards you. You say, as you are lifted up, all men will be drawn unto you. Lord, so we pray to that end, that you would be lifted up in our lives, in the life of this church, that all mankind would be called and be attracted to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, and we pray these things in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus today. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for joining us in prayer. Thank you for joining us in worship. This morning, I'd hope you'd have your bulletins in hand and that you would be looking in the inside cover because we have a bit of an outline for you this morning. And I will not be preaching this morning. We have Bert Kempfis, who has been working with International Students Ministry Canada. He's with us this morning. Bert, come on down. Come on up. And it's so good to have Bert here with us as he's regularly over at the Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church, preaching and ministering there regularly. So it's so good to have you here, Bert, amongst us this morning, as this is his home church. So we welcome you home, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you for that great welcome. I'm honored because many times I'm not here and my wife is almost always here. And just to make sure that you don't think we're having problems in our marriage or anything, you know, where one person goes there, one person goes there. But we live together right down the road, and we share together, and we pray, and I support her, and I'm part of Wilfred Wong's care group. I'm always there, and we fellowship with you, and we know many of you pray, and thank you so much for your prayers. They count, because we almost came to the end of David Lam Campus Group. We didn't see how this was going to revive with students, and this past couple of weeks, we saw some miracles take place. And God is resurrecting that group. And there was a girl from Kenya that popped by our table, and she said she'd been praying for a year that she could be part of a Christian group on that campus. And this on Friday night again, I met two more students at another church. Said, we're part of David Lam Campus. And I said, what? Give me your phone number. And so they're going to be part of that outreach that we're starting actually for Thanksgiving next weekend. So the number of churches are doing Thanksgiving outreaches, and some people are inviting families over. So it's a key weekend for us. So pray that many students will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see the open doors all the time. So I've been praying a lot about this passage of scripture. I just wondered why Larry gave this to me. And I've accepted it. But it's, you know, when I look at it, and I read a lot of what people like A.W. Tozer have written. I should get another stand. Can someone give me another stand as well? Gives me a little more room to spread out. So I can honestly say this morning that I'm not thinking about you folks when I preach this message. This message hit home to me. I needed the most in my own heart and my life. And I've been convicted many times, and even this morning I'm just asking the Lord to fill me afresh as we sang those wonderful songs. And that first song, Prone to Wander, Lord, I feel it. And we are all, at least I for myself, I'm a natural backslider. It's easy to go away. It's easy to coast along. And so we need to return to the forgotten factor. That's what Francis Chan says. I read, Peter, can you just hand me some of those books there? And that bag, my surprise bag this morning. So I learned from Larry all these surprise bags. So, and you know, if you want to get really more into the Holy Spirit, which is the forgotten factor, which is neglected in the churches, amazingly. In fact, well, I grew up in a church that was afraid of the Holy Spirit because we saw some of these extremes, and we were afraid of that. The Forgotten God by Francis Chan, great book on the Holy Spirit, reversing our tragic neglect of the Holy Spirit. Another book called The Voice of Jesus, Discernment, Prayer, and the Witness of the Spirit. Some of the material that I'm sharing, quotes, come from that book today. And then of The Holy Spirit and His Gifts by Oswald Sanders. And a real great book pretty new book called Holy Fire, A Balanced Biblical Look at the Holy Spirit's Work in Our Lives by Kindle. And then some Tozer little booklets, Path to Power and When He Has Come. So these books have helped me even in my preparation of this passage of John chapter 16, 15, and 16. Let's read this passage this morning. I think it's good for us to read God's Word. I don't know if it's on PowerPoint. I didn't ask, but I can just read it from God's Word. It's on. Wow. Okay. When the Counselor comes, verse 26, chapter 15, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes from the Father, he will testify about me, but you must also testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. All this I've told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when the time comes, you'll remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because they're going to the Father, I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Father will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Lord, may we hear clearly from you this morning, and may we have open hearts. And Lord, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that I would do what you would want me to do, and I would speak what you want me to speak, that I would hear what you want me to hear. And Lord, that truly this morning, each one of us would have also a new hunger and desire to be filled with the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God sends the Holy Spirit to enable First slide is a little picture of preparation. Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he's leaving. That's what he's doing here. And I just heard on the radio this morning, you're supposed to have winter tires. How many got your winter tires on already? October 1st. Well, mostly you cannot travel to Alberta or to Kamloops or to Whistler unless you get your winter tires on, right? I just heard that on the news this morning. And there is preparation for survival. There is the guy preparing for school, for an exam, preparing for winter, preparing for camping or going out into the woods. Recently, my son and daughter-in-law climbed to the top of the highest mountain in Africa, Mount Kilimanjaro. How do you say it? Kilimanjaro. They climbed 19,000 feet. Do you think they just thought 1 week before they were going that they were going to climb this mountain? No, they did months of preparation. Preparation is very, very key. Just ask Kimberly before she went and did her driver's test. You had did a little preparation before you drove, before you went for an exam for the first time? You failed the first time? Yes, because you didn't prepare. Maybe you did, but anyway, when you do your, anything we do in life, if we're going to succeed, we need to prepare. And every year, people die or suffer tragic consequences of not being prepared. And that can happen to any one of us. I have a friend who just came to church this morning because his car broke down in the United States. But through that connection of his car breaking down in the United States, he met one of my friends from Belgium who happened to be there at that time visiting his 90-year-old mother and was speaking at that church, and his car had broken down right beside the church. Nice place. And today he's in the church today, this morning, because he lives in Coquitlam. Isn't that amazing how God engineers even these breakdowns and these preparations for our good? So preparation is what Jesus is talking about this morning. And I'm asking you, have you had a recent encounter with the Holy Spirit? Chapter 15 describes Jesus' high expectations of his disciples. Look at some of those verses in the John chapter 15. Abide in me, verse 4. Bear much fruit, verse 8. Verse 16, obey my commands. Love each other as I have loved you. Expect persecution and hatred of the world. Verse 18 and 20. Jesus says, my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. Is all these commands and expectations easy? Just a piece of cake? No, impossible. I quit. Without the divine power of the Holy Spirit is impossible. I could not do what I'm doing without the Holy Spirit. And that's why I need to ask him to fill me afresh. Love needs to be in our thinking, in our motivation, in our methods, in our message, in our mission. How will we survive and thrive? How will these disciples make an impact and evangelize the world? They could not do it without Jesus bringing the Comforter who would be with them. So Jesus is preparing his disciples for the time after he leaves. They wonder how they will survive. Sometimes when a pastor leaves a church or something happens in the church, people wonder, well, my faith is shaken. Where should I go now? Their focus is on the person. Their focus is not on on Jesus Christ. And many times we lose our focus with the circumstances that are around us. So my first point this morning is the promise of the Holy Spirit and the command to be filled. Ephesians 5:18, there's a command that says we are to be filled with the Spirit. Acts 2 was the fulfillment of the promise of the Comforter so the disciples would be enabled and empowered to evangelize the world. The disciples would fail without the coming of the Holy Spirit. So too, we will fail in what God wants us to do without the Holy Spirit filling us. We will fail. And we have, of course, many of us, we have experienced that as well. So what does the church need most? Got a quote from A.W. Tozer. Next slide. Tozer says in this great book that I have here, The Coming of the Spirit, if we're going to reproduce Christ on earth and be Christ-like and show forth Christ, we must have the Spirit of Christ. This church is called to live above her own ability. She's called to live on a plane so high that no human being can live like that of his own ability and power. The humblest Christian is called to live a miracle, a spiritual life with such intensity and such purity that no human being could do it. Jesus longs to see the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to fill us. So how much of you is under the control and the influence of the Holy Spirit? How full are you right now? How full? Quarter? Half? Full? Little bit? Another quote from Tozer is, everyone is as full as he wants to be. Everyone has much of God as he desires to have. I hope that you have a hunger this morning and a deep desire to be filled. If you want to receive the promise and follow his do you want to receive this promise and follow his command to be filled? Well, you know, we can't talk too much about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Moody did that all the time. He was telling people, you must be filled, you must be filled. Somebody said, why are you always saying that? He said, because I leak. Because I leak. And I leak too. I leak too. I follow George Verver. He used to say, he's the founder of Operation Mobilization, and he went off to Russia when he was 21 years old to smuggle Bibles into Russia. And he said, everybody heard of Brother Andrew. He's God's smuggler. He says, I'm God's bungler. He says, I'm God's bungler because I went to Russia, and the first day, the secret police found me and kicked me out of the country. And he's God's bungler. He decided he wasn't quite ready for Russia. You know, we're all human. We all struggle. We're all natural backsliders, so we need to be filled over and over again. So Tozer, in his book, says there's four biblical principles we need to follow. And every one of us can have that experience. It's not just for the disciples. We can be filled today. And so the first one is Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. That's your natural spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to this pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his perfect and pleasing perfect will. So I say you cannot be filled until you are emptied. It tells us here that we are full of the pattern of this world. So I brought a cup this morning. This cup is, what do you see? What do you see? It's a cup, and what is it full of? Air. Oh, some people say nothing, but no, it is full of air. And let's just imagine that you're this cup, and you have all your natural stuff in this cup, like hot air, or like like your pride, your selfish desires, your fears. You're controlling your life, your plans, your ambitions. These are the things that occupy your life. How can I get rid of it, this air? Larry, can you get the air out? Air is still there. Air is still there. You can't get the air out by yourself. So the Holy Spirit comes along, and it's full of water. This is water, this is the Holy Spirit. And so what happens when I use this bike mug, and I put water in here, the filling of the Spirit, what happens? Where's the air now? The air is gone. The air moves out as we fill. We allow our vessel to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he convicts us of the things that shouldn't be in there, and he moves them out so that the Holy Spirit can take control. And so that's the first thing that we need to do, is just simply give our vessel to the Lord, our body to the Lord, so that he can fill us. Are you ready to surrender your mind, your plans, your ambitions, your emotions, everything to God? The second one, right from God's word in Luke 11, the promise comes by obedience. We are witness of these things, and so the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey. To those who obey, he will not fill you if you're disobedient or you're not planning to obey what he wants you to do. By being disobedient, you'll grieve and you'll hinder and you'll quench the Holy Spirit. You'll cause him pain or sorrow because he's a person and he looks at our lives. So he will not come to those who disobey, but to those who plan to obey, he will come. That's what God's word says. Do you believe it? Said so. The third step, the promise comes by faith. by faith. Galatians 3. I'd like to learn just one thing from you in Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you trying to attain your goal by human effort? By faith, we accept and receive His gift and thank Him for the gift. And it's yours by faith. Just like you receive salvation by faith, you receive that gift by faith as well. He wants to give it to you. You'll have the Holy Spirit. Of course, we all have the Holy Spirit when we come to Christ. He's present in our lives when we come to Christ. But that doesn't necessarily mean he has filled us. In fact, the question, He is present, but is He president? Is He president? Is He the Lord? Is He the one that governs your actions and your thoughts? So some people argue over the Holy Spirit. Oh, we like to say, are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? Some people say, are you filled? And they have other words for it. Billy Graham says, I don't care what you call it, just get it. I don't care about the definitions. I just care that I have the fullness of God's Spirit operating in me. There's a lot of confusion, of course, in that area. I'll mention that a little later, but I just talk briefly about the person of the Holy Spirit. The person, John 15:26, tells us He's the counselor. Counselor comes. So He's called counselor. Another word of counselor would be advocate, encourager, intercessor, strengthener, helper. He's there to help us. He will stand with us. Holy. 89 times He's called holy. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from holiness. So, and then the last one is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth will teach you all things. He will testify about me, John 15:26, 14:26. So, because of these characteristics of the Holy Spirit, here is some application to that. Number one, He'll never teach you or lead you contrary to the Word of God. If it's something you're doing that's contrary to God's Word, it's not from the Holy Spirit. Second, He will never focus on Himself, but bring glory to Jesus. Any movement glorifying the Spirit is alien to the teachings of Christ. He will bring glory to me, John 16:14. He will bring glory to me. He's always magnifying Christ and showing us how great Christ is. So the Holy Spirit is not focused on Himself. He's focused on us looking to Jesus. He's the Spirit of Truth. Spirit of Truth, only because He knows all truth, He's able to guide us into all truth. Don't look at the newspapers. Don't look at the fake news coming from fake people. There's a lot of that in our society. But if we really want to know the truth, we got to get back to the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit and God's Word is truth. And so that never changes. But there must be balance. Because in John chapter 4, when the woman was arguing about where she should worship, Jesus tells her, it was not the place. Yes, it's not the place. Westwood Alliance is not the only place. I do travel around the city. I have very good contact, and I'm helping other churches in the city by God's grace. It's a privilege to work together. We cannot do the job by ourselves. But there has to be, Jesus said, those who worship me must worship in spirit and truth. You need both. Someone once said, with all spirit and no truth, you blow up. If you have all truth and no spirit, you dry up. But if you have an abundance of truth and spirit, we grow up to fullness in Christ. We need a balance. And so I trust that. In fact, I went to a Bible school like Prairie Bible College, and he said, the Word of God was most important. But he said, there's another verse in the Bible that I've added. Added the verse? Yeah, Maxwell 1:1. He's the founder of the Bible school, Maxwell 1:1. What's that? Be balanced. Be balanced. So I don't play tennis all the time. Sometimes I bike. Sometimes I am on the university campuses. Sometimes I spend time with my wife. You know, we have to be balanced in our what we do. It's easy to go into extremes. That's what that one book is all about. One group says, the Holy Spirit's miracles and wonders do not exist anymore, only in the days of Acts. Other person Other people, they see a demon behind every door and every window. I've seen some of those people. And they focus on certain gifts, like the gifts of tongues. But they couldn't even share the gospel with their unsaved neighbor, but they had the gift of tongues. And I know I've met these pastors of these churches in Holland where they said, Bert, you got to challenge them to evangelize. They're always talking about these special miraculous gifts, but they can't even talk about Jesus to their neighbor. Something is wrong when they say they have the Spirit of God and they only speak in tongues. That's just one small element of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's move on to the third point, the purpose of the Spirit. The purpose of the Spirit. We see some of that in verses 8. And the first point I want to share before I get to that passage is that with the witness of Christ, he will testify about me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. The Holy Spirit will testify about me. You must also testify, John 15. A quote from a commentator from those two verses, because it's talking about the Holy Spirit testifying and about the disciples testifying. What does it mean? The witness of the advocate and the witness of the apostles are in effect a single witness. And the testimony of the eyewitness of the ministry of Jesus, given under inspiration of the Spirit, is of paramount and permanent importance. For the disciples are the sole link between all subsequent believers and the historical Christ. It is essential that the disciples' testimony not be hindered by opposition or persecution. It is essential that they be prepared for the task ahead of them. And so this is Jesus is trying to say to his disciples. What's some of the things that is happening here? Number one, the Holy Spirit would expose them to false teachings and errors and help them to withstand opposition. Verse 1, I have told you this that so you will not go astray. There's a lot of false teachings. Two of our students that just became Christians a little while ago, they found themselves in the Bible study of a cult. They didn't know it was a cult. Seemed really good, innocent. People were nice and friendly, and they were trying to get them into this Bible study. But they had no accountability to anybody. They were not part of a church. They were part of a cult. They didn't know about it because they were new Christians. It's so easy for people to get sucked in to false teaching. Jesus says, I don't want you to go astray. And he wants to empower the disciples to be able to testify about Jesus in a hostile world. The only way they were going to do it was through the Holy Spirit. I have a quote from David Watson. The church in our Western world is in a chronic asthmatic condition. Asthma, gasping for breath, literally fighting for life. People are looking for reality, not religion. Unless God is manifestly in our midst, the world has no time for the church. Oh, let's pray that God will be seen in this church, not just programs, not just Awana. These all great programs. In the Alliance, I'm part of. I'm just amazed at all the programs people have. They have ping pong program for non-Christians. They have different kinds of programs. It's great to have these programs. But all in all, we need people to see reality. They need to see Jesus. They need to see something different about our church. That's why I'm part of Westwood. Then we just move on there to the next point is the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. The inner witness and work of the Holy Spirit. The inner witness tells us that we are loved. The reason I gave you that insert in your bulletin is to show you that God's love letter for you. God demonstrates his love for us that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. So the whole New Testament, the whole Bible tells us of God's search for us, God's love for us, no matter where we are, no matter what we've done. Gordon Smith in his book says, we are empowered by the Spirit through a conscious awareness and experience of the love of Christ. When that love of Christ, unconditional love, so much of our love is conditional. My parents' love for me was conditional. We love you if you do a good job, if you study well. And I was the oldest, so I had to set the example for my four brothers and one sister. A real tough challenge. And so I was living that kind of life, but on one side, but on another side, I was living a double life. I wanted fun. I wanted the world as well, which I didn't tell my parents about. So I was living in that double world for a couple of years until God exposed me. Satan tells us you failed. You did not measure up. God must be mad at you. Maybe you're not his child anymore. He causes confusion and doubt. Not the Holy Spirit. He tells us no matter where you are, just like that prodigal son. Next Sunday I'm speaking on the prodigal son at Vancouver Chinese Alliance. But the focus is not on the son. The focus is on the father. The father loving his two sons and praying for them. And he didn't expect them to measure up. He just kept praying for them and opened his arms and heart to them. The confidence we are loved is what moves us forward, growing in faith. God loves us unconditionally. We sang that song this morning, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. If we do not learn to live in the love of God, we'll always be vulnerable to the opinion of other people. Martin Luther King expressed a longing not to crave the affirmation of others, which would inflate his head, or fear their criticism, which would crush his spirit. It doesn't mean we don't care, but the bottom line is that we're focused on pleasing God, knowing that God loves us even when we fail or we disappoint our friends or family. And then the other part of this inner witness that we see in verse 8, chapter 16, the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. Sin in this passage refers to the greatest sin of all, because men do not believe in me. The root of sin is our desire to live in self-centeredness and dependence and independence. In our society, we see this independence in our pursuit of happiness, materialism, pleasure. All these are gods that do not give satisfaction. Ultimate righteousness is in Jesus Christ. He's accepted, he's exalted, and he's glorified. And because of his purity and obedience, he was declared righteous. And there will be judgment. It's the consequence of sin. Satan, the one who brought sin to this world, is judged. He's defeated at the cross. And his rule will be eventually finished. Jesus is victorious. In my journey toward holiness, I will see more and more of my own sin. We cannot convict anyone of sin. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. I was really upset with somebody the other day because I felt he was sinning because he was an older Christian who had fallen in love with a non-Christian Japanese student. That really bugged me. And he was supposed to be an example. And he was supposed to help her on his journey to Christ, but he was her boyfriend, and I thought I was going to be the Holy Spirit, and I sat him down and told him that he had to break it up. Well, needless to say, I got him mad at me, and later on I had to apologize as well that I could have used a different way, different tactic instead of just trying to be the Holy Spirit to him. There's a prayer. First Gordon Smith said, our whole self is bent on denying the presence and power of sin and on resisting the thought that sin is sin. I'm sure every one of us this morning have hindered the Holy Spirit in some way. So I've got a prayer on here that I've taken from the book of alternate services. And I'd like us to say this prayer together as a confession to God this morning. Let's say it together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of his name. I trust that we have said this from our hearts this morning. A couple of other thoughts of the Holy Spirit before I close with a story is the Holy Spirit also illuminates the mind. He's the Spirit of truth, and we learn to learn truth through his word. And truth will move us into action. Truth is never just to collect more information. He is the Spirit of truth. We come to faith through the truth. We mature in our faith through truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. John 8:30. Think about these things. Think about what is true, what is lovely. God's word says. This is his word. And Gordon Smith in that quote says, our behavior is the fruit of our thinking, our actions, reactions, our inclinations and propensities are the result of what's happening in our mind. What's filling your mind? What's filling your mind? What do you spend so much time with? I guarantee you probably most of us, and I confess my own, we spend more time with that cell phone and that internet than we sometimes do with God's word. Isn't that right? We need, and that is what occupies our mind. It follows then that the Christian should take the mind seriously and appreciate it's essential for us to seek with passion and determination to know truth. And the last point is guidance in times of choice. There are so many different choices that we can make every single day. It's easy to avoid what's the best choice for us to make. Why? Because of ignorance and fear. The courage we seek is the courage to go for the best, as Philippians 1, verse 9 says, that if your love, prays that your love may abound more and more so that you be able to discern what is best. God doesn't just want you to choose the good. There's so many good things to do. There's 100 of them. He wants you to do what is best for his kingdom, for his glory. And as the Holy Spirit fills us, he will make that clear to us. I have a little story here taken a few years ago where there's two ladies, and one lady is filled with the Spirit, and one lady is not filled with the Spirit. She's filled with her own negative circumstances. She's struggling. All she sees is black. And maybe you can relate. And I close with this story. Let's listen to it. Unclog the channel. In a cold January morning, I walked into the college infirmary to turn on the lights and before Lena arrived. From the back rows of my memory comes the dean's booming voice. "Well, Florence Nightingale, you must be living right. Meet Lena Rogers." That was 2 years ago. Little had he realized from the kitchen classroom Lena would be teaching her own brand of philosophy in addition to preparing trays and making beds. The students loved her, especially her Lena tea and cheese sandwiches. I loved her. Lena, a symphony in black. While the steam radiators clanged and hissed, I reached for the coffee pot. 6:30 a.m. The world outside was wrapped in darkness, just like me. Outwardly, I was the starched infirmary nurse, but inside I was broken with grief over our youngest son who had chosen the rebellion of the 60s instead of education in a Christian college. I heard Lena coming up the sidewalk singing in the cold wind. "We walk by faith, not by sight. We move one step at a time. Thy word's a lamp, thy word's a light. We move one step at a time." The door banged with a, "Praise the Lord, Sister Jensen. We've got a brand new day. The Lord done give it to us, and the devil ain't going to take it away. Glory." She stopped with, "Lord, have mercy. Child, you look like death. I might as well be dead. No way can I live with this grief. Janice, Daniel, and Ralph are as inseparable as children. Now Ralph is wandering in a wilderness of drugs and protests. I can't live without Ralph in the fold." Lena stopped, reached in her broom, and hollered, "Out, Satan, out. No devil going to be in my kitchen. You're trying to kill my child. No way you can win. Out, out, in the name of Jesus." She swept with a fury through the open door and announced, "Now that we got rid of the devil, we can hear from God." She gathered me in her arms, and I brushed my face against her black cheek and sobbed, "I might as well be dead." With that, Lena straightened her shoulders and looked at me with those black eyes and said words that turned a light on inside me. "If God had wanted you to die for Ralph, he would have asked you. You're standing there telling God Almighty he's not done enough for your child. That's what the cross is all about. Jesus died for Ralph. He came that you might have life, that your life might be full. Now I ask you, where's your joy?" "But Lena, I want my son saved." "Your joy got nothing to do with what you want. Your joy in Jesus, child. You got him, you got peace. You got him, you got it all. Ralph's not your business. He's God's business. Now I ask you, did the prodigal son's father call in the FBI or the police? No, he trusted God, and he waited. Now, Sister Jensen, you must unclog the channel. You get that long hair, bare feet, drugs, and that mess out of that channel so you can see God. God's getting tired of hearing how bad the boy looks. He's looking in the heart. Now today we get the joy. First, I take authority. Lord, we don't want no phone calls, no sick calls in this infirmary until we get the joy business settled. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, this child don't know how to praise. Forgive her, Lord." She rolled her black eyes heavenward and grabbed me under my arm and marched me around the infirmary. We began to praise the Lord till the joy comes. So we started singing the doxology, and then Lena prodded, "Walk, child, walk. March, keep marching. The devil don't like marching ever since those Jericho walls came tumbling down. We got some walls to march around. Now sing, power in the blood. And clap your hands. Satan hates that clapping. Keep walking, child. Hold your head high. You're a child of the King. Thank God for everything, that your child is in God's hands." When I sat down to rest, She picked up the worn Bible and read back to me the promises I had marked for her. She pulled up a chair beside me and sang, "Oh, how I love Jesus." We harmonized together as tears rolled and hearts were raised in worship. We sang softly, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Take off your shoes. We're standing on holy ground." Quickly we slipped off our shoes and fell to our knees singing, "His name is wonderful, for thou alone art worthy." We bowed in humble adoration. "Don't see the problem. Just see Jesus," she prodded. "Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Thank Jesus for searching for your lamb," she sobbed. "He's done lost his way, but you can find him." Then up, up, Sister Jansen, we now offer the sacrifice of praise. We had started with a sobbing doxology, and 2 hours later, we ended with a victorious praise the Lord. Rejoicing, I wrote in my diary, "I won't be any happier the day Ralph comes home than I am today, receiving the answer in my spirit by faith." Lena looked across the busy campus, stretched her arms to heaven. "Thank you, Jesus. You've done birthed a child in the spirit." Not until the close of Lena's prayer did the phone ring and the doors bang and the coffee pot stayed warm. Let's pray. Let's think of what can happen as the Spirit of God fills us, even today, as we move into this world, as we move amongst each other, as we welcome people, as we look at this world with the eyes of Jesus. Lord, we can do something. We can impact this world. We can impact this city. We can impact our church, just like Lena impacted that one needy woman to look at Jesus that day and to focus on Jesus. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, we pray, that we would truly be the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Bert. I felt exhilarated as I heard that story. It was a lot to keep up with.
We need 2 more hours.
We do.
Yeah.
I think usually we close with a song, but this morning we want to close with some reflection on what God is talking to us and speaking to our hearts this morning. So we're just going to ask you to bow your heads in silence and ask God to continue to speak to your heart in way of what he would want to commune with you this morning. Really, we come to church not just to hear preaching, speaking, but more so we want to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. So would you take some time now in silence to pray and address the Holy Spirit in way of your own needs? Maybe it might be some sin that you're dealing with, maybe a broken relationship, maybe a need, financial. I don't know what it is, but God, the Holy Spirit, knows. And he wants to commune with you and talk with you. So I'm going to shut up for a moment here and give you some silence so that you can commune. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Please stand with me. Receive the benediction upon your hearts today. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Please be seated. If you turn in your bulletins this morning, we've got this little insert that Rick has put in for us, Father's Love Letter, a great message from various scriptural portions of God's love and God's grace to us. We'll ask you to please take that home with you and read it and consider what a great Father that we do have. Also in your bulletins this morning, I just want to remind you of a few announcements here. We do have a Sunday school class that's going to be happening here shortly. So after your coffee time, please make your way up to the library. Jim, you're probably wondering where you're going to be teaching. Yeah, up in the library. So Jim's going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer and the significance of that for us. So a great opportunity for us to further understand that wonderful Lord's Prayer that so much of the church prays and we should know as Christians is so significant for us. So do consider joining Pastor Jim Bell in the library this afternoon, this morning, sorry, at 11:35 upstairs. And also, I just want to draw your attention to this other announcement called a Jaffrey offering, number 8 in your bulletins there. That offering is in way of helping reach out with the gospel to various unreached people groups that the Alliance Christian Missionaries are in contact with around our world. There's actually 4 different groups that we're seeking to reach out to. So next Sunday, we're going to give the opportunity for you to offer towards this Jaffrey offering. And churches across Canada are doing this as well. During Thanksgiving weekend, we're wanting to encourage people to give towards the reaching out of the gospel towards these 4 unreached people groups. So to tell you a little bit more about that, Dave Hearn, our president with the Christian Missionary Alliance, has a 3.5-minute presentation here. So I just want to take that 3.5 minutes just to give you an idea of what that Jaffrey offering contains.
Hi, church. I'm here today at the beautiful sanctuary at Rexdale Alliance Church and happy to bring this special message for our whole Alliance family. At this exciting time in our history, we are seeing people and places across the world that are becoming increasingly accessible to the gospel. And God is calling every one of us to play a role in seeing every tongue and every tribe and every nation gathered around His throne. And for many of us, this means radical sacrifice. Robert Jaffrey understood his calling and didn't shy away from sacrifice. When faced with a choice between a life of sacrifice and a life of great wealth and prestige, he chose a different calling, to take the gospel to the unreached parts of the world and to offer people the opportunity to know Jesus, even while he battled health problems and other barriers. Robert Jaffrey started out on a journey of radical sacrifice for Jesus that spanned decades, starting first in South China and serving God and the people there for 35 years. He also traveled to other countries across Southeast Asia, taking the gospel to least reached people groups in those regions. His legacy continues to inspire and motivate us today. Since launching the Jaffrey offering for global missions last year, individuals and churches have together raised over $617,000 to support reaching least reached people groups. People groups like the Balinese of Indonesia, the Yazidis in parts of Iraq, the Wolof and Fulani people groups across Africa, as well as the urban professionals in Mexico City. Some of us are called to go, but there's also a vital role to play for those of us who can pray and give. We are so grateful to you for the support and generosity you've shown so far to the Jaffrey offering. The Jaffrey offering is designed to help you as a local church reach your goals for missions. So let's continue to grow and increase this important work that we've started together for Jesus. In my hand, I actually hold a piece of the flooring that belonged to the home in which Robert Jaffrey lived when he was in China. And as I hold it in my hands, I often imagine that his feet actually walked across this piece of flooring. And it reminds me of Isaiah 52:7, where Isaiah writes, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news." That's the heart of the Christian Missionary Alliance. That's who God has called us to be. So I hope that you will pray and that you will consider what radical sacrifice you can make today to ensure that more people across the nations have a chance to hear about Jesus. I want to thank you in advance for your prayers and your generous support. There is a great shaking in our world. Oh, may God shake our hearts to meet this radical moment of opportunity. We were made for this. Let's seize this time.
Thank you, Dave. Dave Hearn, our president of the Christian Missionary Alliance, encouraging us as a church to give to this Jaffrey offering. So it will not be happening this Sunday. We'll be looking forward to that next Sunday. We will be passing offering bags around for the collection of that offering. So we're just giving you this foresight to look forward to what you might be able to prayerfully give towards the Jaffrey offering in way of reaching out to the least reached people groups in our world through our Christian Missionary Alliance missionaries. So would you do that? Would you consider, would you so write a check or put an offering into an envelope and write Jaffrey on it, and next Sunday come prepared to put that offering in the envelope and put it in the bag when it's passed past you? There's also offering boxes in the back, and we believe in this church in tithes and offerings. So we want to encourage you towards that, to give regularly towards the needs of the church, the ministries of the church. Also, there's a global emergency response fund that we have. It's printed in your bulletin as well. And if you would like to give towards some of the needs that we've heard in our community regarding fires, as well as flooding down in the southern states, as well as earthquakes in Mexico, please mark your offering envelopes with that acronym, the G, what is it, G-E-R-F, the GERF. So write GERF on your form or on your offering envelope and put it in the offering box, and that'll get to that global emergency response fund. So as you go this morning, I just want to encourage you, please see what you can do in way of reaching out with the gospel. You are the gospel, the greatest Bible that some people will ever read. Give that light and that faith and that hope to those that you're around, through God living in you, as we've heard this morning, through His Holy Spirit. May God bless you in that service and that ministry that you have, that nobody else really has in way of the contacts you have with family, friends, co-workers, people that you rub shoulders with. May God bless you in your ministry, in your context. Go in God's peace. Please spend some moments in silent prayer, and then be dismissed.